Certainly an exciting day for the Edmonton Oilers to acquire Duncan Keith.
Just felt like the Edmonton Oilers right now, it was a good fit, a great fit. Excited to start this new chapter of my career and try to win a cup in Edmonton.
It's always been my goal to be able to stay in Edmonton, and it's just what I've wanted. I've loved my time in Edmonton so far. The team is progressing the way we want it to, and I want to be a part of that. And obviously, the biggest reason I want to stay is I want to win at Edmonton.
Here's McCabe all the way, scores!
Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast for this Thursday, January 13th. I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260. Hit me up on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. Like always, thanks for making Locked On Oilers your first listen. Every day, we're free and available on all platforms. Lots to get to regarding the Edmonton Oilers. Some more bad news today, and we'll break it all down with Connor Halley from the Jason Gregor Show and the other Connor podcast. You can connect with him on Twitter at Connor Halley. And let's get right to it. Connor, more bad news for the Edmonton Oilers. Mike Smith had an MRI. Looks like he's out for at least 1 week, could be up to two, could be up to 3 weeks. Not an ideal situation for a guy that you signed to a two-year deal. He's 39 years old, I think, 39 or 40, whatever. But a team that needs to get going here. Not ideal to lose Mike Smith right now once again.
Yeah, I mean, if it's anything like the last time, it'll be, what, 1 to 2 weeks, and then it'll be, well, he's skating, and then, you know, there might be a setback,
yeah,
but they won't tell us, and we'll keep waiting. So I'm going to pencil it in for a month that he'll miss. I guess if there is a bright side, I mean, you're not obviously playing too many games in the next little stretch here, so maybe you get away from it, but this could be the opportunity, Hernan. Like, Stuart Skinner could be called up. I know that he's going to be brought in. He's got to go through the whole COVID thing with the border and everything like that. But this could be it. Like, I don't think the team has confidence in Mikko Koskinen. And an opportunity here for Stuart Skinner arises where he can kind of get in, hopefully, play well, and run with it. And maybe go on a bit of a stretch here. I know the fan base has questions about the goaltending, and I know a lot of people would like to see them look to the future, and Stuart Skinner could be that guy. This could be that opportunity, but you're right. And a lot of people on the social medias right now saying, told you so. Like, this is why you don't give Mike Smith a two-year contract.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're obviously only in year one. We'll see what happens going forward with this one. But, yeah, just another thing going wrong for the Oilers at a time when they really don't need it to.
And that's the thing, like, the 2 years, like, there's a bunch of players on this team that got 2 years, and I didn't like any of them. Derek Ryan, Slater Cuckoo, and I get there's negotiations, but Jesus, Ken Holland, like, put your foot down, like, especially with a guy like Mike Smith. He's old, man.
Yeah.
Like, this was a possibility that he was going to miss time due to injuries, and he has now. Now, looking ahead, now, to let the listeners know, like, Stuart Skinner has to get tested, and if he tests negative, he can cross the border and join the team for Saturday. If everything goes well, is there any possibility you see that Skinner gets to start? Because Gager made a good point on the two guys. At least Skinner's been playing in games.
That's
right.
That's
and the faith can be high in Mikko Koskinen right now. So do you see any way that happens, or is just knowing how this coaching staff kind of runs their team, it's going to be Mikko?
Well, I mean, I guess if you want to look at Mikko, then you could probably find a way to justify it in our heads. Like, yeah, the coaching staff seems to like him. We know that they tend to go with their veteran players, and he would be the guy who's been around this team this whole time. I would 100% agree with Gager on that one. Like, you've got Stuart Skinner, who's played in Abbotsford. He's game ready. Why not throw him in there? Like, to me, like I said before, it makes too much sense to not just get it going here with Stuart Skinner. Let him have the reins here. If he struggles, then, you know what? Your goaltending hasn't been perfect all year anyway, so be it. And it's a younger player who's struggling rather than a guy you're paying a ton of money, or a guy who's been in the league for so long who's, you know, not going to be showing signs of an improvement. Like, when you look at Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen, they are who they are. Like, they are fully developed. That's the goalies that they are going to be. So you know, fill in the odd goal here and there, the bad goal. We've seen that. That's what it is. But with Stuart Skinner, I still look at it like this. He's 23 years old. He's still developing, you know, kind of been bouncing around from the East Coast to the AHL with some quick stops in the NHL as well. And he hasn't looked too bad. He won the last two games for this Edmonton Oilers team, who hasn't won very often. He's played in games in the AHL against, I think, Abbotsford. So, yeah, to me, this is just an opportunity to get him out there. And if he does let in some bad goals and has some bad games, it's a lot easier for me to swallow that when it's a young player still developing.
Yeah, no, for sure. And Coach Dave Tippett did say that he has a lot of confidence in him and he has no problem throwing him into the net here for the Edmonton Oilers. But just thinking, the Oilers haven't played for a while since last, Wednesday? I mean, Ottawa hasn't played. Ottawa will play tonight, but they hadn't played since January 1st. So they're going to have a game under their belt. When you look ahead to Saturday, like, how concerned are you? Because the Oilers are slow starters. They rarely get the first goal. They're coming off a huge break. Like, who knows how the team's going to respond. And now you got to go with Mikko. Well, we're assuming he's going to be Mikko Koskinen, a guy who's prone to letting in early goals and bad goals. Like, for me, this is such a huge game because it's a team you should beat. I don't care what the excuses are, how long you've been off. You should beat the Ottawa Senators. But it almost seems like there's a lot of things going against you for this Saturday matchup.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, I almost consider here, and I'm just going to bring it up as we talk. I remember last year how good the Oilers were against the Ottawa Senators and, you know, seemingly had no problem with them. Each game, they would just go out there and beat up on them. And one of the things they did was putting Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl on the same line here. So I've got McDavid's game logs from last year. The games against Ottawa, 4 points, 1 point, 3 points, 3 points, 2 points, 0-0, 1, 5, 2. I almost consider, like, it's been so long. It's been a long break. Why not put McDavid and Draisaitl back together for this one? Like, get it going. Get the ground running.
Well, remember last year when they dominated Ottawa? What did Dave Tippett always do?
He always put those guys together, knowing that the Sens' depth probably wasn't as strong as the Oilers was, and that, you know, the bottom three lines could hang with them and probably, you know, keep pucks out of their net and let McDavid and Draisaitl go out there and put up points. Like, McDavid had 5 point games, 4 point games. Couple of games where he didn't score, but, you know, like, go out there and just load up that top of your lineup and go and, like, send a message, score some goals early. Like, you want to avoid a slow start, put McDavid and Draisaitl out there together. Maybe they get something going, they drive the momentum, they draw a penalty, something like that. But try something. Like, you got to do something different, especially against a team like Ottawa that you can beat. Yeah, you might get their top line. You might have Tkachuk out there and Shabbat. Like, maybe that's the case, but let your superstars go out there and beat them and try something different. That's what I would do.
And you're shorthanded because you're going to have no Nuge. We still don't know their sole players in COVID protocols. So I kind of agree. I'm not always huge on putting them together, but when you're missing players and you haven't played in a while, it's like, go with what you know.
Yeah.
And let those two guys go out there and win the game like they did so many times last season, because you're not playing Carolina Hurricanes, you're not playing the Tampa Bay Lightning, you're playing the Ottawa Senators. I'm a little concerned. I hope they can pull out the win, because this team needs to get going, and then they won't play again until, what, Thursday?
It's the Panthers.
Yeah, and that game might be get postponed too. And then they get the Panthers, Calgary, they get Vancouver, and they get Nashville. So they get four really, really tough games here. Switching gears, we'll see what happens Saturday, 8 o'clock, pregame show at 6:30.
6:30.
Yeah, on TSN 1260. I'll be back with Tommy for the postgame show. It'll be just nice to have an NHL game. A lot of fuss was made up about Connor McDavid's "it is what it is" if the media and the fans don't like it. What did you make of that comment? Because I mean, if you were on Twitter and outside media made an enormous deal about it, here in Edmonton it seems like he probably should have chose better words, but I think he was asked, like, I think 4 or 5 different times about it, and I think at the end, it's Connor McDavid, he's not the best with the media. Could he have worded it better? Sure. But I don't believe that he doesn't care what he does off the ice, but I think he was just, I don't know if it's cornered, but I just felt like he was just answering to answer and didn't really think his answers through, because it was so many questions about Kane, and he even said after the second question, hey guys, like, it's pointless to talk about this because he's not here.
Yeah, and I think Dave Tippett said it very quickly. Like, it's a moot point. He's not on our team.
Exactly.
I'll worry about who's on our team. And I get that Connor McDavid, you know, probably got sick of it. I think that there has to be a little bit when it comes to him just knowing that the things that he's saying matter as the captain of this team. And I think for a while, like, you know, we know he doesn't love talking to the media. He just kind of gives you the generic answer when it comes to most things. He's not going to give you a whole lot. So I think there might be a little bit of it kind of like, you know what, the things I say, you know, they're not going to always be the most thought out. They're kind of generic. And he's probably a little bit frustrated talking with a guy who's not on their team as of yet. If he signs, I'd love to see what McDavid says. You know, it's like, yeah, that's something we're going to have to talk about or something like that. Seeing news today that there could be even more suspension coming Evander Kane's way. So he might not even play in the NHL. So all of this could have been for nothing. But I think that, you know, he probably has to look at himself and maybe there's a conversation like, hey, man, just remember, you are the face of the NHL right now. You're the face of an NHL franchise. You're the captain. Your words are going to be interpreted. You're going to be dissected all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that happens all the time. Like, that's kind of the world we live in right now. Seems like, you know, on social media, you say something the wrong way, someone's going to just jump with it and try to paint you in a certain way. But I think, you know, he said what he said.
But do you truly believe Connor McDavid goes about his life not caring about what potentially what his teammates does off the ice? But what, like, I don't get what people want him to say. Like, well, what do you, like, he's not going to trash him either, but he probably has his own thoughts. He's not the GM.
Probably thinking, you know, I'm not going to rip this guy because if he does join our team, then
exactly.
That's going to be awkward.
So, and then he's just like, he talks about him on the ice.
Yeah.
Because that's what players usually do. So he just said, hey, he'd be a great addition. He's a hell of a player. And then they kept asking him about him. And then he kind of slipped up and made that comment. And I just don't believe Connor McDavid truly believes that. There now, I think if this Evander Kane stuff comes true and he ends up being an Edmonton, I think the Edmonton have to do a better job. Their coaches, their players, and say, this is what you guys say. Everybody say the same thing, so we're not like putting our foot in our mouth like what happened this week.
I mean, yeah, there probably does have to be some PR coaching, right? Like how to handle this situation. I know Gregor tweeted it out like 20 minutes ago. Kane suspended 21 games this season for the COVID violation, now facing a second. Don't see it being less. Probably closer to 40 games. Teams won't sign him because of that. If signed next year, likely low salary, his team would have to pay him half of it for him to sit. So it's like, if that's the case, and he does get another suspension here, 40 games, all of this was for nothing, right?
And that's the funny part here is that everybody's so up in arms and nothing's really happened. Yeah, like, it's just been a former NHL ref tweeting about it.
Exactly. We had Tim Peel on the show yesterday, actually, and he said, he's like, hey, I'm not in the game anymore, but I have friends, and I was told that was happening. So he put it out there. He's not an insider.
So now for you, Connor, I think we can all agree that on the ice, he brings an element that the Oilers need. I think he'd be a good addition. Now, on the flip side, he has baggage and a lot of it. At the end of the day for you, is it worth it, this whole thing?
You know what? The Oilers, they're and Ken Holland said in his presser, right? Like, I'm not trading guys away. It has to come from within. If you're looking strictly on ice, it's like, yeah, this guy would be such a perfect fit. Put him up with McDavid. Put him up with Draisaitl.
Yeah.
I think he could work with both. He's an agitator. He's got a physical presence. The player is a perfect fit for this team, especially if you got him for nothing. Like, it would be such a lucky thing to fall into your lap. And I think that's why Ken Holland obviously seriously considered it, because the fit as a player is perfect. The distraction that comes with it, that's the problem. And I hate to say it, like, I've tried to come down one side or the other.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard because he would be such a good player, but off the ice, it's been so bad. And Hernan, we haven't seen him mature in any way. Like, you hear a
that's
lot of
the
stories
thing,
about
yeah.
guys. Like, if Evander Kane had issues when he was 22 and, you know, there was the dress code problems that he had. And, and maybe he
which
got
Which is
in,
stupid.
Which is, like, But, and maybe he got into a little, like, had some issues. But for the last, like, couple of years, he'd been on the right track. He'd say, of course, like, this is a guy who made his mistakes, but it looks like he's starting to mature. Problem is, he's 30 years old. He still hasn't matured. Going into last week.
Yeah.
Like, he's, for whatever reason, maybe there's some entitlement there. Maybe, you know, growing up, always being one of the best hockey players on the planet, you kind of get that sense that you can do no wrong. Well, Evander, it's going to hit you in the face right here, because you probably just cost yourself a lot of money this year. And I don't see it happening. And I don't know exactly what the debt is that he's in for with his gambling losses, but, like, that's money you could have used, man. Like, It's sad to see just the decisions he makes and is going to end up costing him so much. And I don't know, like, at the end of the day, I'm sure the Oilers believe they're going to turn this around with or without him. I don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah, like, it's hard. And I think it makes sense for the Oilers because he's a top six forward and he's cheap. And the Oilers need cheap.
Yeah.
And usually you're not going to get any Evander Kane for $1.5 million. But under these circumstances, it's going to come cheap. So I think that's why the Oilers are looking at it. But you make a good point. I mean, he's 30 years old. He doesn't seem to be growing up. And but I also look at it like this, Connor. Like, if he does come, it's for 4 months. If it's not working out in the first month or in the first few weeks and you notice this guy's just a complete whatever,
yeah,
you move on, man. And it's not going to cost you a lot. You just cut the bait, man, and say, okay, thank you. We thought we can make this work. It's obviously not working, and see you later. And then it's lesson learned. And I think a lot of teams are going to look at it the same way. But I also understand how people are like, how can you even consider bringing him in? Now, it's not just the Edmonton Oilers. There's been a bunch of teams.
Like 20 teams or something?
Yeah, inquiring about him. So the Oilers taking a lot of heat just because of rumors that he's signing here. With you. Like, I don't know if it's worth it. Like, it is. I mean, he doesn't help the goaltending. He doesn't help the decoy. Doesn't help the first goal issue that the Oilers had or the turnovers. So
the things I will say though, Hernan, and you know, a couple examples from other sports, and we'll go with the extreme first. Antonio Brown with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, this guy was an absolute mess. He forced his way out of the Raiders organization. He goes to the Patriots. Pretty sure he lied about what happened there in his like court cases because they got rid of him after 1 week.
Yeah.
And, you know, he seemed untouchable. And it was the same sort of thing. Like, he had abuse allegations. I think there was some sexual assault. And then there was just a lot of bad stuff around him. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers looked at him and said, if he's with Tom Brady, he can do a lot of good. And he helped them win a Super Bowl. Not saying Evander Kane helps the Oilers win a Stanley Cup, but he helped them win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So up until maybe, you know, I don't even know, March of last year, people said, holy cow, that worked out really good for the Buccaneers. They won a championship, and AB played a big part of it. But then AB became AB again once
again.
And we
saw what happened.
And there was the fake vaccination cards, and there was more stuff, and then he walks out the field. I mean, could Evander Kane help your team this year? Sure. Would he mess up again? Who knows, maybe.
There's potential.
There's potential. Like, it could go really good, and then all of a sudden, it could go really bad in an instant. But I just look at another guy who, not as bad, but had his demons, was Zach Kassian. And I still remember talking to Dean Millard on the night show.
I remember. I was filling in when he signed, and I know a lot of people weren't happy about it.
He asked me, and I was like, no, why would you bring him in? You know, you don't want to have that in your culture. Overnight, I thought about it, and I was like, okay, well, if this guy goes and gets help, and, you know, it's costing you Scrivens, I think was, you know, the return for him, why not? I mean, he's played in the top six before. He can skate. He can be physical. He could help this team. And he got his life turned around. Like, I think he does. Like, you can rip him for the inconsistencies on the ice.
Yeah.
And, you know, the contract he got was probably maybe a little too much. That's not his fault. But off the ice, that guy deserves so much credit and respect for what he did. Like, you know, going to rehab, you know, stopping the drinking, getting his life in order, doing everything he had to do to become a professional. And we've seen that from him. Can Evander Kane take those steps? It seems like he can't, because he's still making these crazy mistakes. Like, he needs a better support system around him, perhaps. But, you know, you see Kassian's story, and people hated him when he signed it. Like you said, you were filling in. I saw the text coming in. People hated that guy. There was the whole stick-swinging incident with Sam Gagne, and people thought he was a jerk, and very quickly he became a fan favorite. So you can win over a crowd if you come to Edmonton and get your act together. But to me, Evander Kane has there's no reason for me to think that he will.
Yeah, it's a sticky one here. And again, the league has to do their investigation. He might get suspended. This thing might just be all like, it just must be washed away next week. And it'll be funny because we'll be like, man, we spent a lot of time talking about this and not arguing, but everybody has different opinions on the situation.
Is it weird to you that the league hadn't stepped in like immediately and said nobody can sign him right now? Like, he's placed on leave.
Well, that's where I'm at. Like, it's like, what happened there? Like, how does that even happen? Like, knowing that he crossed the border while he was positive, and I don't know the ins and outs of everything that happened with that, but I mean, it almost feels like he is going to get suspended. So it's kind of like a. I know there's reports today, Sean Simpson from TSN in Ottawa said that he's hearing the deal was done.
Oh, really?
Yes. And that, I mean, what do you do? Like, it's now he might be suspended. You don't want to have that player here for, you're not going to have him for 2 months or a month or whatever it is, right? So, I don't know, Connor, man. It's for a slow week for the Oilers. I mean, it's helped in terms of for our work and our podcasts and our shows. It's created a lot of conversation. But just imagine if they do end up signing them. Holy smokes.
You know what? I mean, and that'll be it. Like, I joke and I kind of say this, like, all he has to do is score a couple goals and he'll start to win fans over. And I think that might be the case for some. But, you know, there might be some people who don't want to associate with the
Oilers.
And
that's fine. After this, right? And you have to respect and you have to understand it. Not everybody's going to have the same take on this player, right? Like, it's what he has done, some pretty bad things off the ice. So it's, we can't just sit here and forget because he's going to score some goals alongside Connor McDavid. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to get started. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts. I mean, we might get news by tomorrow or early next week, Connor. Looking ahead here, just the last one for you. Edmonton Oilers here, rolling along. Kenny Holland had his presser. I know it was a few days ago. Did you take anything away from it? Or it was just kind of like, you've been in this business long enough, you kind of knew what was going to be said?
Ken Holland, to me, like the guy, he can talk, right? And he can say a lot of words without really giving you a whole lot of information.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of just how I always hear, you know, when I think of Ken Holland. I mean, the things he said about Stuart Skinner over-ripening, that's great. And that's something he's definitely brought to this organization with the younger players, with his tenure with this team. And I have really liked that. But I do think eventually, you know, you got to find out what you have with Stuart Skinner. And when the team's struggling, why not give it a go? Maybe he is the spark you need. The team plays a little harder in front of him. You know, I like that he got a little bit fired up because we haven't seen anyone get fired up on this team. So I like that, you know, he went out and said, we're going to turn this thing around. We're going, you know, we have the players. I believe in the coaches. I believe in their determination. Yeah. I don't know if I necessarily agree with him because I don't know how you're just going to turn it around like that. But you know, he seems like he believes in that group and he took responsibility. If they fail, it's on him. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't really see the need for it. I guess
I guess the media asked for it.
Yeah, so the media asked. He clarified about, you know, Evander Kane. I said they've had conversations. He did his due diligence, like I think any general manager in the NHL should. And I guess, you know, the one that stood out to me kind of was saying he wouldn't really want to trade away any future assets. We talked about this all offseason. I think you were on the podcast a bunch of times. Everyone I had on, I said, like, do you think this is the year the Oilers finally make a deadline deal and maybe ship away a first-round pick and a prospect? And everyone thought, yeah, for sure. Like, this is the year you have to go on a bit of a run in the playoffs.
Not anymore, man.
Yeah, that changed, apparently.
No, I understand that, Connor. Like, don't get me wrong. I don't want to see them trade their first overall their first round for Ben Chiarot, a guy that he'll help you, but he's not a game changer.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a UFA at the end of the year. I understand that, but if this team continues to struggle and there's kind of up and down, fighting for a playoff spot, and if there's any way possible to help your team, don't you need to do it, though, even if it is a rental?
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. It's kind of interesting, like, had the Evander Kane thing happened, if it happens, there's a great addition. That's not going to cost you anything. Dylan Holloway is another guy that, you know, pre-going into the COVID list, we were pretty excited about because he was skating with the NHL club. We knew he was going to go down to Bakersfield.
And he might still be.
He still might be. And, like, if you were to get those two guys in, like, that would be absolutely massive. And then, you know, you get healthy on defense and, you know, you're probably saying, okay, we're pretty confident with where we are.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a goalie you can add right now. Like, I know people throw out Carey Price or Marc-Andre Fleury. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. In those situations, I think you would probably give away your first-round pick because you got the term and everything, right?
Mm-hmm. So That makes more, it's more ideal.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think if that were to present itself and you could get one of those guys, then I think Ken Holland would definitely look at it. But if it's just going to be a one and done and, you know, like you said, like Chiarot, I'd still be a little hesitant right now because I don't think this team, where they stand right now, and this could change in the next couple of weeks, couple of months, but they're not a threat. I mean, they're not a playoff team right now. So it has to change day by day. I think you have to, your approach can't just be one way and it never changes. You have to, you know, react and adapt as it goes along.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting times here for the Edmonton Oilers. Hopefully they can get that game in on Saturday. Then they get a bunch of time off again, back at it next Thursday. We're all hoping, hopefully these COVID cases start trending downwards. Here it's an absolute mess all over Canada right now. Connor, like always, thank you for the Oilers chat today. I mean, it's been a long time since games, but thankfully we've had some news to break down with Ken Holland presser, the Evander Kane news, Connor McDavid and all that. So thank you, like always, for joining me. Have a good one and have a good show with Gregor.
Thanks. Turn on anytime, buddy.
That was Connor Halley from TSN 1260, the Jason Greger Show, and the other Connor podcast. Find him on Twitter at Hernan. Not at Hernan. I always say that. At Connor Halley. So the news of the day, Mike Smith out a week to 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks with that thumb injury. Stuart Skinner, the plan is to call him up. But he's got to get tested and test negative, and then he can cross the border. So it looks like Koskinen will be your starter on Saturday. And that's pretty much it coming from Oilers practice. They'll be back at it tomorrow as well. So more news on that. And nothing really breaking since last night on Evander Kane. It's the same old. It's kind of everything's kind of on hold as we continue to wait to see what the NHL decides here. And going forward, and if he ends up being an Edmonton Oilers or a Florida Panther, or he's just out of the league for the rest of this season, we'll find out soon enough. Like always, hit me up on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. Don't forget to download and subscribe on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. For my producer Juanito in the Locked On Oilers podcast, I am Hernan the Man talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Stay safe out there, and we'll chat tomorrow.